The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to this evening's action in Nace. We have a flat card to look forward to there. Seven races on the card. My name is Mark Walton and joining me to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, good, thank you. Not a bad card in Nace tonight either. A bit of flat action, very competitive stuff. It's not too bad.
It's all right, yeah. Yeah, we haven't got any stellar races. We haven't got sort of like a, normally we tend to have like a pattern race in midweek in Ireland, but that's not the case tonight. Best race of the night probably comes in the shape of the 8:30, where we've got several horses coming off the back of good performances and one or two potential improvers. Decent maiden to start with, and what looks a penalty kick in the last.
Yeah, okay then. Let's get stuck into the action. Decent maiden to start with, as you say. It's at 6 o'clock. It's a filly's maiden over 6 furlongs. And Sexy Legs heads the betting and his odds on this morning at 8 to 11. Crudin is 4 to 1 with Puck Fair. Too Good to Be True, 7 to 1. 16s for Little Rooster and 20s are bigger price as the rest. Sexy Legs, Andy, odds on. She was joint favourite for the Albany at Royal Ascot last month. Didn't really run a race there. That was attributed to the quicker ground in some respects. And that would be a concern tonight, wouldn't it?
A little bit, yeah. She ran really well first time up on softest ground at the Curragh, and she was punted off the boards in the Albany. I mean, she went off 9-2, but I actually managed to get a bit of 14-1 about this thing. So I really did like her chances, but although she ran okay, she certainly didn't live up to expectations one way or the other. So you could argue and put it down to the ground. And 8 to 11 looks plenty skinny enough this morning, up against a couple of horses who've shown promise in reasonably good races already in Ireland. Puck Fair was second to Queen Mary with her, Anthem Alexander, over 5 furlongs. She looks as though she'd be suited to step up to 6 furlongs. And the big eye catcher last week was a horse called Crudin, who bumped into a very good horse of Edward Lynham's, who made a winning debut, called Agnes Stewart. But for, let's say, seven or eight tenths of that race, looked the best filly in the race until the winner came sweeping by. I like the way she broke from the stall. She raced alertly. She travelled really well. She quickened up quite nicely into the lead approaching the furlong pole. And if you actually just take the winner out of it, you'd say that Crugian was a really smooth and comfortable winner, beating some useful fillies in the process, including a horse called Kate Wolfe, who was actually sent off an odds-on favourite from the Gerline stable. So I don't think Crugian here is going to cause the favourite quite a one or two sort of problematical moments in this race, if not actually go on and beat her. And at the prices this morning, you can get 4-1, 9-2 back Crugian. Slight concern would be the draw. Usually when they come down the centre of the track at Nace on decent ground, they tend to migrate to that far side rail. It's only really when the ground's soft they come down the middle. So that would be a concern. But two-year-old race is not so much of a worry as it would be against the older horses. So Crudin, really solid each way in the first race.
Okay, Crudin each way then in the first race. Moving on to the second race, the 6:30, and this is a fillies race for three-year-olds and over that have not won a listed race or finished first, second or third in a group race. It's over 6 furlongs and Bilderberg heads the betting this morning at 11-10, but just eased out from even money. That's because the money's coming for Colour Blue, who's 3-1 into 5-2, 7-2 for Yulong Baoju, and 11-2 for Calibrate. So the favourite a bit weak here, and Colour Blue's the one they're coming for, Andy. Can you see why?
I can, yeah. I think this is more wide open than the market suggested. I could make cases out for quite, well, virtually all of them, really, to be honest. Bilderberg was hugely impressive the other day at Fairy House on a seasonal reappearance. She was well-backed and quickened up really smartly in the latter stage of a steadily run race, which was dictated by Monsieur Power, who went into that race rated, let's say, in the mid-80s. I think he's actually got an official rating of 85, Monsieur Power. And, you know, he'd been running well against the likes of Cougar Mountain and Due Diligence prior to that. So, you know, she was beating a decent animal, who's rated in the mid-80s. So you'd say that her rating would be, you know, at least 85+. So she's run it to a good standard. It wasn't a particularly good time. It wasn't a strongly run race. So, you know, all we know now is that she's in good form. She can quicken off a slightly run race. It all depends on how quick they go here. And I think they will go much quicker because she's running against a really strong standard of opponent here. Lots of Colour Blue, Calibrate and Yulin Baijiu, all rated in the 90s. So you could argue that she's got to improve just a little bit to take this. And I think Colour Blue actually sets a really good standard here. And she's going to be my selection. She bumped into Tested down in Gowran, which has proven that she was up against it, trying to give that horse weight. Tested, of course, has won a group race subsequently and ran well in the Irish 1,000 Guineas. She then won at Killarney, proving that she just about stays a mile. They dropped her back to 7 the other day, and that worked out a treat. She finished third behind Sparkle Fact in a red-hot 0-100 handicap at the Curragh. We've seen Toban out of that race, who finished second, win subsequently, winning a Group 3 race at Fairy House the other day. So I do think that's the best form on offer here. And I think the William Hill bookmakers, so the odds compilers, have done the right thing to evade possible further destruction here from this horse. And I do think Colour Blue is definitely the one to beat. So Colour Blue, strong selection in the second race.
Okay, Colour Blue then in race two. On to the 7 o'clock, which is race three on the card. And this is a handicap for three-year-olds and over, rated 47 to 65. It's over 6 furlongs and hat-trick-seeking You Can Choose heads the betting at 3-1. It's 9-2 for Count of Carabas, Chilly Billy 13-2, 8-1 for Singapore Secret, Bit of Money for the Dancing Lord, 10s into 9s, Hard Times is also 9-1, and then 10-1, or bigger prices. The rest, 14 of them here, Andy, and You Can Choose arrives here in pretty good form. Won this race a couple of years ago as well. But is the faster ground a bit of a concern and probably not his ideal trip anymore?
Yeah, you could argue several cases against him either way. I mean, he has won over 6 furlongs in the past in 2011. So, you know, if for those that are hanging on to that crumb of comfort, that there's a little bit to take out of that as well. I just think he's a really good horse at this time of year. He's a very much cyclical horse. He does this year in, year out. I mean, anyone who knows You Can Choose, you know, to avoid him in the early part of the flat season, April, May. Basically, he's just biding his time and he's ready to strike in July. You look at his career, 6 times out of his 7 wins have all come in July. He just loves this time of year when the sun's on his back, when he's thriving, he's in good form. And you've just basically got to stick with him despite the slight trip concerns today. I thought he did really well to win the other day at Bellistown, just proving how strong he is at the moment. You know, he won from stall 13 the other day over that sharp track, and that's no mean feat, to be honest, because that far side rail was definitely the best place to be throughout the 3-day festival. So you can upgrade that performance. He'd won at his beloved Tipperary the time before, and he's really got a good track record as well away from Tipperary here at Nace. He's won twice here. He's also been placed on two other occasions. The only time he actually finished out the frame is when he was 4th in a 15-runner race. So his form credentials are 4-2-1-1-4 at the track. He's got a reasonable draw right down the middle. And, of course, he's got Declan McDonough on board as well, who absolutely gets on to a nicety with this horse as well. So it's difficult for me to make a strong case against him because he's just got so many things in his favour. So I'm going to stick with the inform You Can Choose to win again in that 7 o'clock.
Okay, You Can Choose to complete the hat-trick then. In the 7 o'clock, the 7:30 is race 4 on the card, and this is an EBF maiden for colts and geldings over 7 furlongs. And St Patrick's Day, the Aidan O'Brien newcomer, is the 9-4 favourite this morning. Dunquin is 5-2, 100-30 for Sacrificial, 8-1 for Romeo. Torrey Pines is 8-1, and then 16-1 in double-figure prices for the rest. So quite a few newcomers prominent in the betting here, Andy. Any of them stand out to you on pedigree?
Well, I think St Patrick's Day definitely screams at you on pedigree. He's actually related to the stables Hawkwing, of course, who was a brilliant horse in his day, former Group 1 winner. And he's by Fastnet Rock, and most of these Fastnet Rocks tend to be going really well, particularly for this stable and on fast ground as well. So with the money in his direction, he's clearly fancied to run a huge race today. But he does have to beat this Dunquin, who also has got a nice pedigree and has also had the benefit of a run. Shaping really nicely in a decent race at the Curragh, won by Accepted. Back in second was Cape Clear Island from the same stable as he takes on today, Aidan O'Brien, of course. And, you know, even though he just faded late on, he certainly showed enough to suggest that he could win a race like this. He actually got stuck out in the wing a little bit. He got no cover, and it's very difficult to accept the Curragh when you're 4 or 5 horses wide and a bit deep, because that standside rail is definitely the golden highway when the ground's on the quick side. So He's probably run a bit better than the bear result suggests. He's got a good draw today. He's up in trip, but on the round track, you definitely want to be handy. And as we've seen before, horses just can't make the ground up from the back of the field when the ground's faster now. So I'd imagine that with his experience, he'll break really cleanly from stall one. I think he'll get to the front, and he could be very, very difficult to pass with that experience under his belt. So despite the vibes being good for St Patrick's Day, I think he might have it all to do against a more experienced and front-running Dunquin.
OK, experience to count then. In the 7.30, the 8 o'clock is race 5 on the card, and this is an EBF maiden for fillies. It's over a mile, and Firestone is the favourite this morning, and she's been quite well backed as well, 11-8 into even money. Seacoast is 2-1, 11-2, now 6-1 for Meandering, 7-1 for Mulita, and 16-1 or bigger price as the rest. Firestone, Andy, made a very encouraging debut. The form of that race doesn't look too bad with the winner coming out and placing in a handicap. Do you see Firestone as the one to beat?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that was a good effort first time out. I mean, it wasn't a particularly strong time, that race. It was quite a modestly run event. And it probably actually didn't suit Firestone because she was held about the back door on her debut. And she finished her race off really encouragingly behind Raw Memory from the John Ox camp, as you quite rightly said. Has finished second subsequently in a handicap off a mark of 89. So using that horse as a barometer, you'd say that Firestone's at least an 85-plus horse already, notwithstanding that she's going to improve upon that. So if you look at Seacoast and you say, well, she's rated 84 and has had, you know, five attempts to get to that mark of 84, then, you know, there is a good bit of strength and ballast behind that argument that Firestone should win this. Even money with William Hill this morning, not probably the price of the centre bit, but on balance, probably a worthy favourite. But I do think Seacoast is going to be quite a tough nut to crack here. I'll certainly give the favourite plenty to think about. And from a value perspective at 2-1, you know, some value-seeking punters might want to go down that route. It was a good race that she was involved in here over this course and distance last time out, behind Shell House. And JJ O'Brien literally had to knock the spots off Aidan O'Brien's horse to beat Mickey Halford's filly, who threatened to fall the gamble all the way through the back end of that race. And the two of them pulled nicely clear. Prior to that, she ran well over the track before. So her two real best runs in her career have both come at this track. So that might just stand her in good stead. And it all depends about track position here at Nace. If Firestone dawdles out from the stalls again and, you know, he's ridden towards the back of the field and Seacoast gets first run, it might just mean that Seacoast, even though she's probably the most exposed and least likely to improve down the line, she might just nick this race tonight because of the way the track rides. So Seacoast just about gets the vote in the 8 o'clock.
OK, Seacoast then in the 8 o'clock. The 8.30 is the penultimate race this evening, and this is a handicap over a mile for three-year-olds. And the betting is headed by Vector Force, who's been well-supported from 15-8 into 13-8. Caught the eye with an unlucky effort on reappearance when not getting a run through. Derulo is 11-4, 9-2 for Muscle Beach, 11-2 for Longton, and then 10-1 on double-figure prices for the other three runners. Do you see this is a good chance for Vector Force to gain compensation, Andy? I mean, it's quite an open race, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, it wasn't a bad run down in the Curra, nothing more, nothing less. It was a reasonable handicap, but there were a lot of exposed older horses in that race. Have a nice day, let's face it. He's been, a stalwart at Dundalk throughout the winter period. So, you know, it wasn't as if he was taking on a whole bunch of lightly raced horses. I must admit, I wouldn't get massively excited about him at the price. He's got to improve that. He can do it again. He's got to improve. He's got to prove that he stays a mile. I'm just not absolutely so convinced about him at the price. I really like Derulo here, I must admit. I love front runners at Nace. Regular listeners to the podcast will know that if you're too far back here at Nace on the round track, you're basically doomed. And I like the way that Derulo sets up for this race. He's basically a front runner, or he certainly made all last time out anyway. There was no messing around by Ross Coakley. He bounced him out the gate. He got a reasonably easy time of it up front in the early part of the race. And then he got taken on by Eloge as they rounded the home turn, and the two of them went hell for leather for about two furlongs until he finally saw off Andrew Oliver's charge. And luckily for him, he managed to get a big enough advantage to withstand the late rattle of Intensified, who was given a bit of a kamikaze ride by his jockey in the early part of the race, basically let Derulo slip the field. But I do think Ross Coakley will try and adopt the same tactics again tonight. And as I said, it is very, very difficult for horses to come from the back of the field here. So the price is 11-4, 3-1 for Derulo, who makes plenty of appeal following that course and distance win the other day.
Okay, and on to the final race this evening, the 9 o'clock. We finish with a handicap for three-year-olds over a mile and a quarter. Three-year-olds and older, sorry. And Panama Hat heads the betting at 10 to 11, share of odds on. 9-2 for Laviniad, 9-1 for Stronger Than Me, 10-1 for Tierim, 12 for Mortimer Jobsworth, and 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. At the beginning of this piece, Andy, you alluded to you think that there's a penalty kick in this race. You napped Panama Hat last time. Are you keeping the faith?
Yeah, nap again, Panama Hat. This will crush this field. I mean, it's just, if ever a horse was tailor-made for this track, it's Panama Hat. We know he makes the running, we know he's strong from the front, he's 3-for-3 when he's made the running, in cheek pieces from the front, he loves fast ground, there's no rain forecast, he's going to get to the front again tonight, there's no other front runner in the race, nothing's going to contest him early on. He'll basically, I can see what's going to happen here, he'll do exactly the same as what he did the other day down in Roscommon. He'll lead and he'll kick round about the 3 furlong pole, and we saw what happened the other day at Roscommon. He literally went from a length in front to about 5 lengths clear within a twinkling of an eye, and he was actually eased down in the final furlong, so he didn't really have that much of a hard race. And I can see exactly the same thing happening here. It's a pretty easy race to read. He's drawn stall 2. Chrissy Haynes will have no hesitation, just ping him out the lids. He'll lead to the 3 furlong pole, the top of the straight, and as the evidence will probably show in the early part of the card at Nace, like it has done for about the last 2 years here at Nace, it's virtually impossible for horses to reel back in front runners that are very strong at the head of affairs. So even though he's 10 to 11 Panama Hat, I actually think this is like putting your hand in the till. So Panama Hat, if you can get that 10 to 11, even round the even money mark this morning, fill your boots.
Okay, Panama Hat then, the nap selection in the 9 o'clock this evening. Let's just have a quick summary, Andy, of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, I think the favourite's the one to beat in the first, as the market suggests, Sexy Legs. He probably sets a good standard. But I do think Corrigian is a really solid alternative each way. I must admit, I thought, you know, anything bigger than 5-2 was a right bonus, but we managed to get 4-1, 9-2 about this horse this morning, so I think we can get stuck in there. I think Colour Blue definitely is the standard bearer in the 6-13, should be backed accordingly. That's her morning odds, particularly from a yard in good form. You Can Choose. He's basically, all he ever does is win in July, so you've just got to keep backing him until he gets beat. So Andrew Slattery's charged to follow up his win the other day at Belliestown. Duke Queen to put his experience to good use in the 7:30, drawn stall 1. In the 8 o'clock, just about favours Seacoast because she's got some good form over this track ahead of the likely improver Firestone. It should be a good matchup between the two. Derulo, hopefully he'll make all the running again in the 8:30. And if he doesn't make all the running, then Panama Hat will definitely do it in the last.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections and join us this evening.
Will do. Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.